We're in John 12 this morning. We're going to look at when the creation calls the shots. When the creation calls the shots. So let's begin reading in verse 12 in John 12. We'll read through verse 19. The next day, this would be a Sunday, okay? On Saturday, Jesus was anointed at the home of Lazarus, who's alive now, and Mary and Martha. So on the next day, Sunday, the large crowd that had come to the feast that Mary and Martha and Lazarus gave for Jesus, the large crowd that had come to the feast heard that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. So they took branches of palm trees and went out and met him, crying, "Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." That's an important thing to keep in mind, okay? And Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, "Fear not, daughter of Zion. Behold, your king is coming, sitting on a donkey's colt." His disciples did not understand these things at first, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and it had been done to him. The crowd that had been with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to bear witness. The reason why the crowd went out to meet him was that they heard what he had done, that he had done this sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, You see that you are gaining nothing? Look, the world has gone after him." If you've been alive very long and paid attention basically at any point of that experience of life, you know that everybody has an agenda, a plan, we're going to do it this way, about just about everything. That agenda is set forth for the purpose of winning out. Everybody wants their agenda to be advanced. Problem is, not everybody's agenda can win out. And one agenda, maybe with some compromise, is going to carry the day, and that's the direction that will be taken. This is true in governments, it's true in families, it's true in institutions and organizations and churches. Now, there's conflict a lot of times as this agenda is perking to the top. But somebody's agenda is going to win out. And our inclination, those who God created, and that would be all of us, our inclination is that we advance our agenda, that we be in charge. We want our way. Joanna is helping the number three son move, okay? And so they had been living in town where they live, and they were moving out to the country. And I've got a little grandson. His name is Andrew Jack. We call him AJ, and he is made for being outside, okay? That little postage stamp lot that they had in town wasn't getting it. So Mom and Daddy realized this, so they moved out, okay? And so yesterday, I understand, by way of the marvel of texting, okay, that Daddy was outside cutting some trees down that were in the way. I don't even know what's going on. I've never been to the place, okay? AJ wanted to be outside. And he started crying. And the crying led to a fit. And the fit, I understand, led to physical throwing up, because he wanted his agenda advanced. He wanted to be outside with his daddy. which he couldn't because it would be too dangerous. You say, well, that's the way a 3-year-old kid is. That's the way a 23-year-old kid is. And a 33. And a 43. And you get the idea. We want our way. We want our agenda advanced. We want to call the shots. We will even go so far as to make demands of God. We'll blame him for failures and tragedies. Not my fault. God, you didn't come through. We'll even take his word and misinterpret it or misapply it so that it underpins what we want to happen. We want to call the shots, folks. And even after salvation, we bring this habit to the life that's in relationship with him as our Lord and Savior. It's a habit that's hard to break. Paul had this problem. He said, very matter-of-factly, I have to die daily. I have to die daily. And certainly if he had to, John Wheeler has to. I'll let you decide for yourself. Wanting to be in charge is a hard habit to break because we insist on things happening for our benefit, the way we want it. Now, some things to remember before you panic anymore, thinking, where are you going to fit that with what we just read? Okay? Well, hang on, okay? Some things to remember. First of all, God is sovereign. That means that he's in charge. That means that he calls the shots. And he has been calling the shots from the first day there was a shot to call. He's sovereign. A second thing to remember is that his will be done. His will be done. And regardless of what kind of fit that you and I throw, it's not going to alter his will. Abraham tried that. Don't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. If I find 50 righteous in the city, will you spare it? God said, sure. He got him all the way down to 5. Okay? Bottom line, folks, Sodom and Gomorrah was torched because it was God's will. And even Abraham, covenant Abraham, couldn't sway the will of God. God's will be done. We also know that without faith, it's impossible to please him. That's the key. Trust him. Believe him. In other words, react to, not be proactive and direct. But we want to organize, direct, command, instruct, rewrite or edit his word, or tell him what he really means. We want to be in charge. All right. How does that fit with what we call the triumphant entry of Jesus into Jerusalem during the observation of Passover the last week of his life? Glad you asked. In that passage we read, there are three agendas that are colliding. There are three agendas that are colliding. And I want us to look at each of those agendas, okay? We're first going to look at the multitude's desire and then the men's decision followed by the Messiah's destiny. How about that, Andy? Huh? Double alliteration right there, buddy. Okay. All right. The multitude's desire. Agenda number one. This multitude, this crowd, this mob, they are caught up in the miracle frenzy. It started, you remember, with the crippled guy by the pool? That got some folks' attention. That began to spread. Then there was the man that was born blind. Healed. He could see. And then, what we've been spending several weeks looking at, a dead man is raised. Dead 4 days, Lazarus was raised. And this frenzy is catching. And the crowd, the energy of the mob, the crowd, is just building all the time. It says in verse 18, the reason why the crowd went out to meet him was that they heard he had done this sign being the raising of Lazarus. The crowd rushes out when they heard that Jesus is coming to Jerusalem. But like all mobs, crowds, they get caught up in the moment. Crowds and mobs have a lot of energy. They have a lot of power, actually. We've seen that on our television screens in a few cities of late. We see it around the world as a mob of people, a crowd, just take over a country sometimes. They're powerful, and they continue to draw people to them. The more energy that the crowd has, the more people that are drawn. And that's what was happening here. The crowd is reacting to Jesus as the miracle worker who is in town and, according to their agenda, has to be the Messiah. Now, parenthetically, I would say the political Messiah. That's their agenda. That's their agenda. That's what they want. That's what they're doing when going out to greet him and meet him coming in. But don't forget, this entry of Jesus into the city is not on their timetable. The timetable has set and was set before the foundation of the world, and this is Jehovah God's timetable that he had given a foreshadow of back in Egypt when the death angel passed over all of the houses where the blood was over the mantle, the door mantle of a house. This is the beginning of that week, that Passover day that's coming. They actually observed it for 7 or 8 days. So this is God's timetable, but they wanted it their way. They are leveraging what Jehovah God is doing in their thinking for their benefit. They're looking for a liberator, a physical Messiah. And so, do you get the picture here, folks? There's a tremendous ingathering of people. This is more than just the population of Jerusalem. There are people that are coming from the region around. And we'll read a little later, we won't go there today, but there's even some Gentiles, some God-fearers, we might call them, proselytes perhaps. They're there as well. This is a great ingathering. And so this crowd, this energy just keeps building. This event, by the way, was prophesied by the prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 9:9. All four Gospels cover this event. There are a few things in Jesus' life and ministry that all four Gospels cover. This is one of them. This is one of them. So the crowd has a desire. And that desire is to go out and meet the political Messiah who's going to solve all of their problems, take care of all the issues of their life, make them happy and healthy and all that kind of stuff. And when they heard that Jesus was coming, he's been in Bethany the day before at the feast that was given by Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Jesus has left there, 2-mile journey. He's coming to Jerusalem. The crowd heard about it, and they go out to meet him. And it's just not a, you know, one of these kind of things. They're tearing down palm trees, date palm trees, very plentiful there, the branches, and they're taking those, and they're preparing a path. Now, that is significant also. For over 200 years, the waving of palm branches was the national symbol indicating or signaling the arrival of a messianic liberator. That's a big deal. And Jesus comes riding into the city on that little donkey. And the people aren't just there like a parade today, you know, where people run after candy or something. These people are engaged. In fact, in unison, they're saying, Hosanna, which means give salvation now. Hosanna, it's an acclamation of praise. Every Jew knew it. It was part of the Hallel that was sung every morning by the temple choir during the Feast of Tabernacles, the Feast of Dedication, and probably the Passover. They knew what it meant. They knew what it meant. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so the agenda of the crowd is to realize what they knew was going to happen in the future, and that future was now. And so this crowd, this multitude, their agenda was temporally focused. Focused on the temporal. He is coming. He's going to get rid of the Romans. He is going to elevate us to the status that we should have. This is all about us. This is all about me on an individual basis. So it's temporally focused, personally applied, but it's easily manipulated. Because these same people, ecstatic as they are at Jesus' entry into Jerusalem, in just a matter of days, are going to be the crowd that cries out, crucify him, crucify him. Had anything changed? Had Jesus revealed he wasn't who they thought he was? No. All that had changed was this crowd was manipulated by the religious leaders. Are we on the same page here? Is this your agenda as far as Jesus is concerned? Jesus, come in my life and fix it. Whatever it is. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to go to church today. And because I did, you have to fix my problem. That's what these guys were saying. These men and women, boys and girls, caught up in this multitude, this desire that they had, that here he is. He's going to make everything better now. And how many times then do we turn as they turned, and then we get mad at Jesus? Even to the point of saying, forget you. Folks, I've bumped into a lot of those folks through the years. Once upon a time, some of you folks who are closer to my age will remember the terminology backslidden. Okay? Never knew what that was. You can imagine the mental pictures that go through, you know. Backslidden basically means you had it, but you lost it. Okay? Folks, that is not good doctrine. That's not Bible doctrine, okay? Because if you got it, you can't backslide and lose it. You may be disobedient, but you can't lose it. And so there was this deal of being saved again or rededicating your life and all that I remember back in the week, 2 week revival days. I don't find that anywhere in the scripture. You see, because salvation is of him, not of us. And the best you can do when you get mad at God because he's not doing what you want him to do, you think that really messes his day up? I don't think so. What you are missing when you may go there is the blessing that he wants to give you because he loves you. So if you're here today and you're mad at God, okay, like the kids say today, get over it. He'll let you out there in your pity party as long as you want to be out there, okay? But in the process, you are missing the blessing that he is wanting to pour out into your life as his child. Well, they had hope. They wanted their life to be made better now. Take a peek over at verse 37. We won't linger long there, okay? Verse 37, John 12 says, though he had done so many signs before them, they still did not believe in him. This is that crowd, okay? You see, they didn't really believe. And we have a lot of folks who are not contending for the faith. They are pretending to be in the faith. And these folks' agenda was, Jesus, fix it. Fix our problems. Agenda number two. The men's decision. The men here, and I'm not being sexist here, ladies, okay? There are no women in the Sanhedrin, all right? The men's decision. The religious leaders at the top of the pyramid would be the Sanhedrin, those 70 people, those 70 men. The men in charge, from their thinking at least. These religious leaders had an agenda. Their agenda was to get rid of the guy who's causing all the problems. Verse 19, you read it with me a while ago. You see, you are gaining nothing. The Pharisees and the priests went to the Sanhedrin, and the Pharisees said, you see, you're gaining nothing. Look, the whole world has gone after him. Oh, how egocentric we are when we think where we are is the center of everything that's going on. Well, what they didn't know was that the whole world would go after Jesus, but the whole world isn't going after him now. There's just a crowd of people in Jerusalem that are. You say, what do you mean? Will. There's coming a day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Yeah. There's coming a day when all of the world, past, present, and from our perspective future, will honor him as Lord. Some will not honor him as Lord for salvation because that has already passed, but they will acknowledge him nonetheless. You see, the important thing is you name him as Lord now. If you don't want to experience that second death we talked about a while ago. The men, the Sanhedrin, had an agenda. Based on a decision they had made, Caiaphas, the high priest, had said it's better for one man to die for the nation. And again, we know that he spoke that prophetically, though he didn't know he was speaking it prophetically. But these folks had an agenda, and folks, leaders today have an agenda. The leaders at your place of business have an agenda. That could be a superintendent, a principal, that could be the director, that could be a boss, that could be the foreman. I don't know what it is, okay? And if you're self-employed, that's you, all right? But leaders have an agenda. And my caution, and at churches, okay, my caution would be that the leader's agenda is going to be consistent with God's will or antagonistic to it. Either or. We need to always ask which it is. And if we don't know, we ask God, and he has promised, if any man lack wisdom or woman, let him ask of God who gives to all men and women liberally. Be careful who you're following, because they have an agenda, and that agenda is antagonistic to or consistent with God's will. Let's go to the third agenda now. I said there were three: the crowd, the religious leaders, and these agendas colliding. Wants to look now at the third agenda, and that's the Messiah's destiny. You see, that's what this is all about, is this third agenda. This is Jesus' agenda. It's the true agenda. This is the testimony of the will of God for this time. Jesus is coming to present himself officially to the nation, the lost house of Israel, the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to that people, that he is the Messiah, the Son of God. Not the political Messiah who's going to kick out the Romans. Bigger than that, far bigger than that, that this is the very Son of God, the true Messiah spoken of in the Old Testament, who is coming for the salvation of Israel. That's the agenda. That's God's agenda. Do you see how pale that agenda of the mob and the religious leaders is now? Do you see how temporal it is? Do you see how useless they are? Because this agenda is going to be supreme. The people don't get to vote on it. The crowd doesn't get to vote. The religious leaders don't get to decree it, because Jehovah God's will be done, and his will is to introduce his only begotten Son to this nation as the Messiah. That's what's going on. God's agenda. It's going to disappoint the multitude. If you are looking at God to be in your life to fix it, you're going to be disappointed. I promise you this. If that's your agenda, you're going to be disappointed. He is not going to fix your problems. You say, well, you need to tone that one down a little bit. That'll drive some people off. Yes, it will. Because he's not interested in any followers who are just in it for a fix. He is interested in people, only people who would deny self, die to self, and follow him. That's the criteria. We've said that a few billion times around here. It hasn't changed. But oh, the people today that flood to him so that he will fix something. He's not going to fix it. I can promise you this. If the Lord tarries, we're all going to die. You're not going to live forever here. I don't want to. You can live forever with him, but it's only when we come to him as Lord and not fixer. The multitude's going to be disappointed. The religious leaders, though they think their agenda is going to be the one that's advanced, we know that's not true. They're going to crucify him. They're going to put him to death. That's their agenda. They're going to get rid of their problem. But as Andy said a while ago as we sang that last song, he came out of the grave. Now what are you going to do? You can't kill him. Their agenda is just up in smoke. And their nation is going to be destroyed. A few years after this, 70 AD, we know, historically the Romans came in and leveled Jerusalem and scattered the Jews throughout the world. And they were never regathered there until 1948. All right, bring this to a close. What are we to do? What's our best plan? Okay? You can try the plan of the mob, the agenda of the mob. Same thing will happen there. Okay? You'll be here today, gone tomorrow. Up, down. Crowds are fickle. Okay? They really are. I don't care where it is or what's going on. Crowds are fickle. You know, and we've built this thing in our world about, we had a big crowd today. Did you ever think, folks, that Jesus always tried to reduce the crowd not increase it. He didn't say to the disciples, hey guys, we're a little down last Sunday. Let's go out and let's get some more people here. He says we're going to get to them in the remainder of John as we study through. He's going to say some things that drive people away. He's not in the crowd business because he knows how fickle crowds are. Our best plan is not to find Jesus as a fixer, not to be in charge like the religious leaders, but our best plan, our reaction, our course of action, write this down, is resignation. Resignation to the will of God in every situation. You will not be able to name a situation that is not where the follower of Jesus Christ must be. Resignation. What does that mean? It means that you don't want to be in charge. It means you're not going to be in charge. If I can use this without offending, you don't give a rip. You say, whoa, wait a minute. You know why that's troubling you so much right now? Because that's not the American way. And we've brought the American culture into the church, and it's leaked into our lives, and we think we're in charge, and we think we have to hustle, manipulate, etc., to advance His kingdom. The only way His kingdom's going to be advanced is when we die to self. That's the only way. And I know all those people that you say, well, haven't you heard of so-and-so? He's pastor of a mega church and they have 40,000 members and that kind of thing. 40,000? That's it? When people deny self and die to self and follow Jesus, an entire city is turned upside down. It happened in Jerusalem after Jesus ascended into heaven after the day of Pentecost. Historians estimate that in a city of about 200,000 people, over 100,000 people in a matter of a few days came. Read about those people in Acts. They gave it all up. They had all things common. That's what he can do. 40,000? Give me a break. That's nothing. But it requires resignation. It's required in your life and mine. So we don't care if Jesus fixes it or not. We're resigned to his will. I'm so blessed, and many of you have been as well, to visit with some of our folks who are ill, gravely ill, in fact, at this time. And every time I'm there or somebody tells me that they've been there, we all say the same thing when we come away. How blessed that time was because of the resignation of these folks. You see, the truth is, it's all about him. It's all about his will. It's all about his agenda. That bother you? And I know some, as I look out into some of your eyes, you 20-somethings and 30-somethings, you're still charging, aren't you? You're going to make it. Folks, I made it, and there wasn't anything there. There wasn't anything there. You see, it's kind of like cotton candy. Remember those days? We don't do county fairs and that stuff anymore. Okay, maybe they do, but anyway, cotton candy. I'd watch those guys and gals, and you know, I was a little chubby guy, and And I'd be walking down there, and I'd see this big deal of cotton candy. Honestly, I mean, it was half as big as the kid. I'd say, "Daddy, I want some of that cotton candy." He bought me some cotton candy. I took a bite, wasn't anything there. Took another bite, nothing there. I ate, I think, the whole thing. And there never was anything there. That's what this is about, folks. When you're hustling and trying to get there, when you get there, there's nothing there. Or you're going to lose it all in between here and there. I don't know. My point is resignation. Lord, I don't care. I don't care. Spend me for your kingdom's purposes. Whatever that means. And then you're not responsible either. It's His agenda for your life, for His kingdom purposes. I promise we were closing. We are. You see, when we resign to His agenda, His will for our lives, when we resign, there is peace. Peace that passes understanding. Oh, that is something in that many desire today is, I just want to have peace. Resignation brings that. There's also power. For we are working in concert with the God of this universe according to His will. He empowers His agenda in our lives, but only His agenda. And there's provision. God's going to finance His will. He can do it. He may need to kill a few cows. He can do it. It's all His anyway, isn't it? That thing that you have down on the corner or down on the street or wherever called a bank and your name's on an account. Maybe you have three or four accounts or something like that, okay? And your name's on it. Want to see how fast that can go? Huh? It's not yours. So why don't we just say, okay, Lord, what I think I have, I give to You, and I'm going to let You finance the situation. He will do it in His time. He's able. So there's provision, and finally there's purpose. And the purpose is His glory. Not your edification, not your building up, not your big deal, okay? But His glory. And folks, He is glorified when His creation becomes like His only begotten Son. That's what this is all about. When men and women, boys and girls, are conformed to the image of His Son through His shed blood and the indwelling presence in their lives. That's what this is all about. That's His agenda. Let's pray. Father, like these folks in this experience called the triumphant entry, some thought it was all about them. Some thought it was for their purpose. But this was all about You. Coming to the world, Lord Jesus, to die on a cross for the sins of the world. That's what it's all about. That's Your plan, that's Your agenda to redeem Your creation. Praise Your name that You have accomplished Your agenda in many of our lives in this room. Lord, thank You that You are still calling to others in this room who are yet to believe. Oh, Father, for them, don't let them linger long. Today is the day You said of salvation, because You also said it's appointed to man once to die. I pray there's not a person in this room that would experience physical death without a living Lord and Savior. So, Father, we want to be about your agenda this day. Come, Lord Jesus. Rule and reign over our lives. Because that's the only thing that's of eternal value. In Jesus' name.